Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews. We're like a book club for people hate reading. This month's theme is Robin Williams dramas, so I picked the movie Good Morning Vietnam. We talk about Firefly Episode 4, and I bring you movie news at the end of the program. This week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, Hello. Ryan Preston.
Hey, and the old guy's here this time. Sorry about last week.
So James, what's this movie about?
Well, according to IMDb, it's about an unorthodox and irreverent DJ begins to shake up things when he is assigned to the U.S. Armed Service radio station in Vietnam. And that does not have a comma anywhere.
Poor grammar should be shake things up.
Welcome to this week in Grammar Glares.
Right back to standard IMDb.
Anyway, I enjoyed this movie, and I did. I like it. Even though the fact that, according to the real Adrian Cronauer, this movie is only 45% accurate, is highballing it. But I enjoyed it.
It was Robin Williams being funny.
Yeah, it was him doing his thing.
Well, it was a delivery method for his brand of comedy. It's pretty much what it was.
Well, every time he was on the air, every bit of that was ad-libbed. There was no script written for that.
Normal for him.
Yeah, that is normal for him. Yeah.
I still love the Ethel Merman bit, because I wonder, as time goes on, if anybody actually knows who that is.
You know, there was a doctor who performed the autopsy on Einstein who stole Einstein's brain to make slides out of it.
Right.
I want somebody to have been able to do that with Robin Williams' brain, because his brain is wired so differently than everybody else's. Swear to God. Like, if you had actually slowed down every little bit he did while he was on air, there was a joke every half a second.
Yeah, I don't know. Pretty much. And particularly that scene where he's not on the air, but they're in their Jeep and there's the troops all around him, right? And he just puts on it. They put him on the spot and say, okay, be funny. And he just does the whole shtick. And it's just, that was just an amazing scene.
That one is an amazing scene. That's actually probably my favorite scene in this entire movie.
Yeah, and I want to cut in a little bit, because I actually, oddly enough, love the cast. From, you know, Robin Williams, Forrest Whitaker, Robert Wool, Noble Willingham. And there was, I don't remember the name, his lieutenant who ended up playing in the movie. He was in City Slickers.
Yeah, everybody salute me.
And he was a pretty good character actor. They played off really well. Like, normally I think Forrest Whitaker is really goofy, but I actually think in this role it actually helped his character.
His laugh gets annoying though. The every few seconds.
Well,
the one scene where he, right after he gets off the air for the first time, and they're all sitting down, and the lieutenant is going off on him.
I love that part.
There's that part where he does that whole PT, KP, VP, that whole thing right there.
Yeah.
I just wonder if he did that one off the cuff.
He had to have.
Or if he had memorized it, because if you had tried to memorize that line, you know how many times you would have screwed that up?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Definitely he's quick enough to come up with that kind of thing. I mean, that's what he does.
He is, but
turn the camera on and let him go.
Was.
Yeah, just the delivery that he did off that was just amazing.
One of the problems with doing this theme is that it's so kind of sad that he's not here with us. Because if there was a man that could make me laugh, it was Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Here's the line that James was talking about. It says, "Excuse me, sir, seeing how the VIP is such a..." Excuse me.
The VP is such a VIP.
See, he's reading it and he's already screwing it up.
Right? Yeah. It's complicated.
Take three.
It is.
Excuse me, sir. Seeing how the VP is such a VIP, shouldn't we keep the PC and the QT? Because it leaks, the VC could end up MIA, and then we all put up KP. Which, by the way, is really hard to freaking read without actually practicing it.
Exactly.
So, the fact he was able to say that, by the way, really fast. If you watched the delivery, that was a very short bit.
Yeah.
I
think the reactions of all the other actors, because you could actually see in that moment that all the other actors are actually impressed
off of that.
It's kind of like just, wow.
And it was amazing how the LT, the guy doing that, was able to keep a straight face the whole time. That movie must have taken twice as long to shoot than any other movie at the time.
They had to have him rolling.
And this wasn't filmed in Vietnam
had it a little easier just because he was actually supposed to kind of laugh at his, his jokes.
Right.
The lieutenant, though, really, that guy had to have not been doing well.
No. In front of him. I bet he was biting his tongue. Or the
sergeant. Master sergeant.
Yeah, and he looks so young in this movie. What was this? This was released in 88.
87, yeah.
It says January 15th, 88 is what IMDb has it down as. So he was, 30?
Robin Williams?
Yeah.
Yeah,
about 30 or something when they did this one. It's amazing how young he actually looked.
Yeah, he was young.
He still looks like he's middle-aged, though.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
he never looked old. He just looked the same age.
40. Yeah.
Yeah, with different facial hair.
Yeah, right.
Exact same face, different facial hair, and different shades of gray. Right.
And I think the reason I love this movie, honestly, is the juxtaposition of Robin Williams and Tong. The guy who Fong. Was a VC.
Mm-hmm.
I love that juxtaposition because they kind of both knew, I'm assuming, what they were. Especially the VC guy. And you notice he had enveloped a really good friendship with Robin Williams and actually cared for him on some level.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. He did because he went out and saved
him. Yeah, he went out and saved him when the bomb was supposed to go off.
That's right.
So that's why I liked it, because you saw Robin Williams actually fall in love with the people, even his enemies, but he still knew that, hey, we're here to fight the enemies. And the best scene of that was the bomb scene in the bar, when it was the first time he actually saw the effects of Vietnam.
Ah.
Yeah.
Hopefully that made sense.
You know, it slowly did.
You start watching this movie knowing it's about, you know, a Vietnam thing, but this radio broadcast, so you're not really kind of wondering what's going on. Movie starts and you're like, oh, this is going to be hysterical.
Yeah.
You know, a mile a minute, you know, Robin Williams being one of those people where you're telling your friends to shut up from laughing so you can hear what he's saying.
Yeah.
It really does kind of, in a couple of scenes, take this weird genre twist.
Well, I think this is...
The background and the setting's always there in Vietnam, but it's really, you know, curtained up with...
It's in the rear with the gear.
I'll be honest. I think the only thing I've ever seen like this is the MASH TV show, the later part of the series, before it got, you know, after it got away from all the more slapstick era. It balanced really well, and I think this is what this... Okay, mute time. I think this is what this actually fit, was able to, in a serious background, have bits of comedy and yet still show the very deep emotion of it.
Yeah,
it's. I think it's because all of those moments, the hysterical first half an hour of the movie.
And this really was also our phone a friend also said this is also his first Academy Award nomination.
Robin Williams?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not friends. The other thing is that not only do you get to see Robin Williams kind of do some drama and comedy in the same bit, but you also get to see him fight. This is one of the rare times where you actually see him fight
in
film. Surprisingly, he used his head.
Which I thought was funny.
But yeah, you're right. There
only
is...
worked once.
It did only work once.
That's awesome.
But you know, there was the thing of him kind of taking it seriously. But the thing that I find interesting is there's the parts where, and I think this is the point of the film, is that you get to see his radio broadcast at times. What are you giggling at over there?
Oh, the reaction of our phone a friend.
Well, hang up on them. Anyways, is when they have the music overlapping when the troops are out doing their formations and things like that, and you can see them kind of dancing and laughing and having a good time. And that's really what the whole point of this thing was, is that the general or commander, I don't remember if he was a general or
it
commander.
Was
General Taylor. Okay.
Yeah.
He was pointing out that the reason he's bringing this guy is so that the troops can have a lightheartedness, because you don't get to listen to radio all the time. But when you're back and relaxing in some private time, you get to listen to the radio. Do you want it to be boring and sad and stupid?
I wonder how many people just off themselves with all the polka.
Yeah.
Right? And the worst bit in history. I hate watching people bomb in movies. So that scene was really hard.
I thought the Frenchie thing was funny because the reason we were in Vietnam was from the French.
Yeah. No, I got
so you should have a little Frenchie friend. Ho, ho, ho.
By the way, I think this movie has one of the greatest soundtracks of the 80s.
Yeah.
I love.
I'm going to bring that up.
Oh, yeah.
I actually want to buy the soundtrack just for that.
His imitation of James Brown was incredible. Absolutely.
Well, I thought
the beads of sweat, too.
I thought the funniest thing was him when he took the Nixon track.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Because how would you describe your testicles?
Yeah.
Shallow. That and was your great. Sex life.
That was great. The tape was great.
I wonder how much of this, like, if any of that actually happened in the real Vietnam.
Doubt it, because Adrian Cronauer, the real Adrian Cronauer, is actually quoted saying that if he did half the stuff that Robin Williams did in the movie, he would have been discharged.
Oh, yeah.
Which he wasn't. He was actually, his time on tour was actually up, got let go.
I guess specifically I meant the music. Because I think that'd have to be the worst thing ever, to be in combat, want to relax, and instead of good music, you get polka.
You hear the polka.
If there's a reason to go MIA or AWL, it would be polka. No offense to everybody. Exactly. Yeah. Might start a third world war.
I don't know, Stan.
Got to be from the Midwest, man.
Yeah, you got to let go on the polkas.
You got to play those accordion things.
Yeah, that's psychological warfare.
That's very, very, very true.
So our phone-a-friend was mentioning about how about the relationship.
Oh,
how about the relationship with
Dave,
the long
just call in, man,
watching it grow and how he saves Williams from the bomb in the restaurant.
Didn't we discuss that already?
We
didn't discuss the relationship.
I do think the relationship is actually probably one of the most important key parts of the movie.
What happened is when the realization that this young boy that he's made a friend with was a VC, mm-hmm. and that the bombing of the bar happened because he brought the kid in,
mm-hmm.
and all of that. When that realization hit, that's when the movie actually took the big turn.
Yeah, it did.
And you know, all of a sudden, wow. I mean, this is, yeah, I thought this kid was a friend, and it turns out really wasn't. Or was he?
Well, see,
right? That's one of those deals.
And the end of the movie, I actually thought that was probably the best speech in the entire movie when the VC kid was going, I'm not the enemy. You are.
Yeah.
And I thought right there that was the greatest speech, because that's not something you would expect to hear, and especially in an American movie, about how we were kind of the enemy in some
ways. In a Vietnam movie, no, that's not unusual.
But
especially with Hollywood.
It was really only like that and had that kind of tonality because it was made so many years after the war.
Oh, yeah.
I'll give you that.
Totally.
Had a little bit of distance from it and can judge it, you know, a little more, you know, from a historical standpoint.
Well, having been the only one
alive
that could have been there, all right? Okay, I'll...
Hippie.
Okay, and having a lot of friends that went, and I was fortunate that I didn't have to go. It was a terrible, terrible police action, as they called it. They never wanted to call it a war.
Yeah.
And this was the first time in United States history where civil disobedience really stood up, and we said as one that we got to get the heck out of this thing. We don't belong there. We're not really fighting communism. And by the way, don't forget, that's why we were supposedly there to stop communism. And it was just, we were slaughtering guys that never, you know, when you have a draft and you're forcing people to do things that they really don't want to do, they're not the most effective. And that's been proven. And it was scary in hell. When your number was being called, it was like, oh my God, where am I going to end up? You know? So you're either fortunate enough to have a skill such as,
radio
in that situation, or something else that may have been safer than being out on the line and being a frontline troop. So, yeah, it was almost a flashback. I mean, it was kind of like thinking back to that period of time, and I can't tell you the feeling. of what we really, really went through and what it took to get us out of this war.
What's interesting to me about this movie, as opposed to other movies set in Vietnam, first of all, it's freaking hysterical, and that you don't usually find.
It's a very bad version.
It's one of the most personal stories that really, you know, instead of focusing on the war, that was really just a backdrop. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Until he had a personal stake in what was kind of going on, you know, everything was sort of just being heard about, and he was there for the morale. And,
right.
And the girls.
And the girls. Yeah, and the girls. That was my favorite scene in that movie.
There she is again! Look at how fast she is!
It's so funny.
No, I think
hurry up before she accelerates.
I would also say that he was also making
really focused on this guy's Ryan's sort of point. Okay, I'm here for morale, and then like, oh, now I see what's really going on here. You know, his total perception changes. You know, at like the two-thirds mark. You know, the movie.
Yes,
I would. I totally lost my comment. Never mind.
The point is there was two distinct portions of this movie where
there was the
happy, the laughs, the craziness, the zaniness of Robin Williams, and then there was the serious side.
Yeah.
So you had
From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really have to agree with Ryan, because I really like how everything to him was fun and games. He was goofing off like he was back in Greece, and as soon as the bomb hit, that's when it dropped, and he was like, "I'm not safe."
Yeah.
Yeah, this shit isn't funny anymore.
Yeah, and that's I really like that. Like, I love the personal story of how everything was.
Well, I mean, changed. It really kept him out of the political nature of making a Vietnam movie and brought it into, you know what, this is what happens when this shit happens to you as a person, you know.
And I also think that's why this is held up as much as it did versus other ones. There's one like a Salt and Fire Base Bravo or something like that was with the Arlie Ermey.
Okay.
Full Metal Jacket. I don't think holds up. Well, see, Full Metal Jacket holds up for a different reason. I think this holds up good because just like Full Metal Jacket, these movies are very personal. It's not as much a war movie as a more character study, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I would say Full Metal Jacket really wasn't a movie so much about Vietnam as much as it was about the Marine Corps.
I agree. And it was about the interaction. And this
character study.
And this movie, Good Morning Vietnam, had a little bit of it as well, where Williams' character was not welcomed in by either the master sergeant or the lieutenant, who didn't like him and tried everything they could to get rid of him. And, you know, the general stood up and protected him as long as he could.
Yeah.
I mean, the zaniness got too zany.
Which I gotta add. Oh, and our phone-a-friend. And the way the news is being filtered.
It
goes back to the VP and the VIP part. What was really accurate being shared about what was going on?
No, that's true. And that's exactly what did happen. The news to the troops was being filtered.
Yeah. Well, you don't want troop morale to drop. That's the biggest thing that they were trying to do, but troop morale was bad.
Which is weird, because I guarantee everybody knew everything. It was like the world's worst kept secret, because I guarantee the guy in the field knew, oh, hey, you know, Bravo Company, whatever, just got their ass killed. They knew stuff was happening.
They didn't know it all.
No, but
they kept it.
But they had to know
in a
compartment.
They
had to know enough to realize the guys in the field had to realize this ain't going as good as they say it is.
Well, and not only that, but as soon as as soon as those rumors circulate, that shit gets blown, way bigger than it really is. So
it's the telephone game.
Yeah. It's the telephone game. You know.
Yeah, I like the thing of when he's on the air and he's messing around and just kind of goes. And he has that, I forget what that was supposed to be. I don't think it was supposed to be Gomer Pyle when he was talking to him. I think it was supposed to be the Army, but he says something along the lines of, oh, I heard you have a pot problem in Vietnam. We don't have a problem. Everybody has it.
Yeah. Exactly.
I also want to add our phone friend, the comment was, they did not want to paint a true picture of war for the fear of what it would do to the troops back in the States.
Yeah.
True. And I would also add,
we all knew
the first war that was really televised.
Yeah, I don't agree with you on that.
And I also want to say I love this movie's incredibly quotable. Honestly, my favorite quote is really at the end of it, when Adrian Cronauer is basically getting told, "You're gonna leave," or or something, but it was the...
Do you want the phone number?
Sorry, it says, the comment, the great quote was, "You are in more dire need of a blowjob than any white man in history." I love the quotes in this movie. If you haven't seen it, you know, go watch the movie and look up the quotes, because sometimes you miss it because how fast the
show is. Well, I was going to write some down. There was a couple in here that I really wanted to do that he was doing off the cuff as he was talking on the radio. And the pot one was just the one that kind of stuck out at the end. But yeah, there's a bunch of just amazing quotes. And that's the big thing about Robin Williams. When he's doing the ad lib, when he's playing off the cuff and he's having a great time, there are so many quotes that you can't keep up.
And I've never seen a man be able to play off himself before, which, by the way, is an amazing feat. So, James, what do you give this movie?
Sorry, I was kind of contemplating you watching a man play with himself.
I said playing off himself, you jerk.
He did say that. He did say off.
Anyway.
So, what do you
give it? I give it a 3. This is a solid 3.
Ryan?
A 3, only because I understand it doesn't hold up. I saw it when I was young enough and was enough of a fan of Robin Williams that, you know, that kind of carried me through this many years. But it'd be a little hard to show it to, you know, to a contemporary audience.
Rob?
I'm just trying to digest Ryan's comment. I'm going to give it a 4. Probably more because I could relate to it more than you guys can, and the seriousness of it, and the interpretation that Williams was able to bring to this movie for me, and it's just his incredible sense of humor and his ability to do what he does. Yeah. Just that, for me, that alone, it's a 4.
I actually gave it a 4 too. I can't really relate to the movie, honestly, because I'm not that old. But I do. I love the juxtaposition of this movie. And to me, Robin Williams was a plus on this movie, because I think this would have been a good movie without him. Because you get to see somebody who doesn't see, you know, who didn't get war, didn't understand the war, then being introduced in it. I really like that.
Yeah.
This is a great, great movie. So definitely a 4 out of 5. And now we're going to switch to Firefly Episode 4, and I'm going to let James.
Well, actually, technically, I have to do an apology for the last week. We did not actually follow the way that it's in the box set. We actually did, I guess, the way that it was released. My mistake. But actually, this Episode 4 is actually technically one where they go to the ballroom, they dress up. Yes. And they kind of break into the scene. We actually did the episode after that, which is his future wife.
To cut in a bit, our phone a friend gives this gives Robin Williams Good Morning Vietnam a 4 out of 5.
Thanks, Dave.
Are
good
we
job.
Taking people's input out there?
I guess we are. Yes!
We don't care about your rating. I'm sorry. Anyways, back to Firefly.
Back to Firefly, that's right.
Only for a little bit longer. Yeah, so this one is one where they, and I think this one really shows how Malcolm Reynolds can be a jerk.
Okay.
I really think that's what this episode is. It shows his lack of sensitivity.
Yes.
Insensitivity due to the fact he realizes that they need money. So it wasn't, he just wanted to get the job and get over and done with.
Yes,
just
he did.
Jerk to be a jerk.
But he was being insensitive to his fellow crewmates.
True.
Yes.
Which he did try to make up for later on.
By defending her honor.
Well, no, buying the dress.
We're talking about Kaylee, not Kaylee.
I know.
And Kaylee, you know, and I guess that was kind of a turning point for him when he realized that, you know, oh my gosh, I really did hurt her feelings. And
Once he realized that, he came back and was kind of like, all right, you know, yeah.
I think it was the dress, sorry, and I would also say to the companion, I love the scene where he talks about, you know, I'm belittling your career, but I'm defending you.
Her career, it doesn't matter. You sleep with people for money, you're a whore. It doesn't matter how you dress it up and what you call it, companion, anything, you're a whore.
It is the word for it.
Yeah. The word describes her job.
I kind of prefer Woman of Ill Repute, but okay.
You can go down and dancing and all you want, but once it's over and you start stripping off your clothes, you're a whore. Here's your money. Anyways, but that's, you know, that's really what I feel like this episode is. It shows how, yes, he can be, he's not sensitive to people's emotions.
Oh, no, not at all.
So, that's kind of where I was in.
He's a complicated...
The hell is that?
Jackpot.
Very, very simple.
That was a horrible jackpot.
That was bad.
That was like... Going. That was horrible. I was like, what the hell am I doing?
Ruined the episode.
Yeah, it did. Teach me to play with buttons.
Yeah.
You bastard. Well, killed Kenny.
I'm the professional soundboard guy here.
Anyways. Yeah, I agree, Ryan. So,
but you know what? I still love this series.
I do, too.
You know, you didn't?
I said I do, too.
Oh, I'm sorry. What?
And
you're out of here.
Don't forget. No, that shit sucks. Don't forget about the best part, the cheesy Western-style fighting.
Oh, it's great.
Oh, that wasn't even Western-style. That was more like, Ryan, help me out here, turn-of-the-century-style dueling thing.
No, there was the Western bar fight. There was the bar fight in the beginning. It was a Western style.
Yeah.
Yeah,
anytime
a table
I thought you were talking about when they went out to duel swords at dawn,
right.
You know,
and
type
so,
thing.
Right.
So, yeah, that was a little more musketeerish.
Yes.
Thank you.
Just to let everybody know that we do have a Facebook page. Is there a movie you want to do? Is there a theme? Or do you want to give one of us hate mail? I promise, if it's funny enough, we will read it on air and probably belittle you just a little.
And the phone a friend will bug us, too.
Right now, so we expect at least one like.
Yeah. Jerk off.
That'd be nice. Jeez.
And I got a...
rating our movies.
I got a question for the one true comic book fan involved in RFR, which is Brian, because he still reads them. So, allegedly, the franchise might do the Civil War in the Marvel Universe.
The franchise is going to do the Civil War.
The Marvel Civil War, you know, where they had Avenger versus Avenger.
Oh,
and
really?
I wanted to see what you thought, because that one had me interested and horrified, and I was... wanted to see what you thought. It's kind of...
Is Wolverine in it? No, that's Marvel.
No.
Okay, so are we talking about like an animated feature?
No, they might turn, like, with the Avengers, Captain America, Iron Man, it might turn into the Civil War.
Whoops.
Because in the... Well, apparently, Ryan...
I'm lost here, John.
Well, I thought Ryan would know what the Marvel Civil War is, because it's one of the giant, the best, I guess, biggest storylines within the last 5 years.
Shit, I haven't read everything.
Okay, well, there we go.
But,
next.
Okay, so you're saying it's Avengers against Avengers?
Well, no, what it was...
That's what you made it sound like.
What it kind of turns into in the Marvel Civil War, if I remember correctly, is they're forced to give up their secret identities. And so Spider-Man goes out there, if I remember correctly, rips off his hood and says, I am Peter Parker. And it becomes like an anti-superhero, like registration crusade type of thing.
Okay, so it's
I'm kind of killing it. But
it kind of goes back. Well, it doesn't really matter if you're going to ruin the plot or not. The plot's already out there. Read the comics.
Yeah.
True. So it's like what they were doing with the Mutant Registration Act?
That's what it, yeah. It's kind of what it seemed to me when I was kind of going over the synopsis.
But during
of
the
it.
Civil War?
Yeah, no, it's the Civil War because it's a civil war within the Marvel Universe.
Oh, okay. Now I got it.
That's awesome.
No, Wolverine would be the only one that was alive for the Civil War.
How the fuck does this have anything to do with the Civil War?
Yeah, I'm totally lost.
They're going to dress up in uniforms and reenact it.
I'm sitting there going,
at least in 1860?
Yeah, I'm going...
Well, hey, maybe, you know, since Wolverine's going to die for the final time, maybe that's a perfect time to kill him.
Well, that's why I even said that, because he's been around so long.
But does Wolverine really have a secret identity? Because he doesn't really know it.
Yeah,
it's a legitimate question. It's hidden from himself.
Wow, that's...
What? It's
true. That's true.
Anyways.
Well, okay, so what a way to wrap up the show. Thank you, John, for all that wonderful news.
Do we have more? Or was that it?
Wow, that's you guys are kind of jerks, man.
Well, the audience is dying. I haven't heard a ding from the phone-a-friend in for a while, so he's lost him, too. So
no, he's probably still there trying to figure out what the hell I was talking about.
he's just not talking anymore.
That wasn't me, buddy. Put me back.
Go to your place.
Go to your place.
So
what is that?
So I said, know your place. Oh, so apparently, since I really butchered the one news that I was hoping Ryan would kind of carry me on, so Ryan failed and I miserably failed.
Yeah, thanks for just
throwing you under the bus.
We need a pre-show show, is what we need. And or we need an after-show show.
Watch out for that oil leak.
Maybe it's the pomade in his hair. So next week is James's pick.
So, you know, I decided that there's a lot of great Robin Williams films that he did drama in, like Insomnia, and a few other ones. But, you know, I decided that I was going to go with one that I had never seen. And supposedly, as far as I know, that it's more drama than comedy, but Toys.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Gosh. I forgot about that movie.
Really?
I saw it.
I've never seen it.
How can you forget about Toys?
I don't think I've ever seen it either.
What? Wow. Yeah. Seriously?
Whoa, wait. I was expecting John to not have seen this one.
You haven't seen Toys? It's Robin freaking Williams. Of course I've seen Toys.
So anyway.
Under my radar.
Yeah. And
by the way, this
I'm aware of the film. I don't think I've ever seen the movie.
And by the way, LL Cool J is in this movie.
Woohoo!
Well, now I can't wait.
Of course.
I know, that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Hey.
Can I change it now?
No, in CIS Los Angeles.
No, nope, like too late. You picked it.
I'm down. I actually am interested enough to see this film, so.
Well, yeah. That's good. So, ladies and gentlemen, I gave... the hell was that?
That's his pick.
A gong?
A gong.
Is the gong show now?
It's the gong. See, that's him.
Jeez. Welcome to This Week in Sound Effects. So I gave the movie Good Morning Vietnam a 4 to 5. James gave it a 3 to 5. Ryan gave it a 3 to 5. Rob gave it the correct 4 out of 5. Next week's movie is Toys and Firefly episode 5.
Yes, which is actually the wife episode.
And as usual, we'll see you next week.
Thanks.
Goodbye.